بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. In this lesson, by the virtue of Allah, we come to the sixth and the final principle from this book, Al-Usul As-Sitta, the six fundamental principles by Al-Imam Al-Mujaddid, Shaykh Al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'a. And in this principle, the author mentions a doubt that Shaytan has put in the minds of the people in order to turn them away from Al-Islam and turn them away from the scholars of Al-Islam. So the author, he begins by saying, Al-Aslu Sadis, the sixth principle, Raddu Shubha Allati Wada'aha Al-Shaytan, is a refutation of a doubt which Shaytan has placed, i.e. which Shaytan has placed in the minds of the people in order to deceive them and take them away from the correct Islam. And this shubha, this doubt, it is tarki al-Qur'ani wa sunnah, leaving off the Qur'an, abandoning the Qur'an and trying to understand the Qur'an and the sunnah, and instead wattiba'i al-ara' wal-ahwa' al-mutafarriqa al-mukhtalifa, and instead of following the Qur'an and the sunnah, instead a person should follow the various opinions and the various desires of the different groups and the different people. And how does he do this? Or what is the doubt that Shaytan uses? He says, أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ وَالسُنَّةَ لَا يَعْرِفُهُمَا إِلَّا الْمُجْتَهِدَ الْمُطْلَقِ, that as for the Qur'an and the Sunnah, the meanings that the Qur'an and the Sunnah contain, then nobody can understand them except the mujtahid mutlaq. And the meaning of mujtahid, or the general meaning of mujtahid, is a scholar of the highest eminence or of the highest level of knowledge and understanding. So they say that, and this doubt is not something that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab is speaking about from, it's something that's imaginary. Rather, it was something that was around at that time, and even today is something which is present. So many of the innovative deviant sects, if you speak to them and you come to them with either an ayah from the Quran or either a hadith of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will say, We shouldn't try to understand the Qur'an. We're not knowledgeable enough to understand what is in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore, instead of doing this, they prefer to blindly follow their scholars, i.e. the scholars of misguidance. So the doubt is that nobody is able to understand the Qur'an and the Sunnah except the mujtahid mutlaq, except a scholar, not even a normal scholar, but a mujtahid mutlaq, a scholar of the highest eminence and the highest degree of understanding of knowledge. Wal mujtahidu, and as for the mujtahid, huwa al-mawsufu bikadha wa kadha, he is characterized by certain characteristics. You know, he has to have this condition and this condition, and he has to have fulfilled this knowledge and this type of knowledge. And maybe these conditions and these characteristics that they place upon this mujtahid, this scholar who is a mujtahid, maybe these conditions aren't even found in Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. And then they say that if you are not this type of person, if you're not a mujtahid mutlaq, then stay away from the Qur'an and the Sunnah absolutely. Or they say that if you're going to read the Qur'an, then read the Qur'an or recite the Qur'an lit tabarruk, just for its blessing and just for its reward. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he affirmed reward for a person who recites the Qur'an even if he doesn't try to seek knowledge regarding its meaning. By the very wording of the Qur'an in itself, it contains blessings. So there's a reward for every single letter. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, for the ba and the seen and the meem are 10 rewards, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. And in the wording of the Qur'an is shifa'u lima fi sudur, is a cure or a treatment for the problems of the chest or the heart, or even physical ailments. And we know all of this. So those people, the people of innovation, if a person comes to them, for example, and this person says that we must not commit a shirk, because Allah said in the Quran, Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih, that Allah does not forgive for a person to commit shirk or ascribe partners to him. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. This person, this scholar, the scholar of misguidance from Ahlul Bid'ah, from the people of innovation, he will say to him, no, 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 you're not allowed to understand the Qur'an. You're not allowed to take this benefit from the Qur'an. Just recite the Qur'an for its blessing. Or just recite the Qur'an for the good deeds and for the reward of mere reciting, as if it's a foreign book. As for trying to understand the Qur'an, and understand the meanings of the Qur'an and the meanings of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this isn't for us. Rather, this we must leave to the greater scholars. So shaitan, when he comes to the people with regards to this doubt, he comes in three stages. The first level is, he says to the people that nobody is able to recite the Qur'an and nobody is able to understand the meanings of the Qur'an and the Sunnah except a mujtahid. This is the first stage in the deception of shaitan towards the people. That nobody is able to read the Qur'an or nobody is able to understand the meanings of the Qur'an except a mujtahid. And then the second stage of shaitan and the people of innovation is, then they begin to define the mujtahid. So they say, as for the mujtahid, then he's somebody who must fulfill this condition and this condition, and they mention various conditions, and maybe these conditions aren't even found in most of the Sahaba. And then the third stage or the third step that shaitan uses, he then says that because these conditions are so high and so stringent, they cannot be met in our time today, and therefore there is no mujtahid in our time. And after mentioning, or after going through these three stages, what is the result of the doubt of the shaitan? Then when we come to the saying of Allah, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, do the people not ponder and contemplate over the Qur'an? When we come to the saying of Allah, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, do the people not ponder over the Qur'an? Do the people not contemplate over the Qur'an? Then this becomes null and void and nobody acts according to it. Because how can you as a person ponder and contemplate over the meanings of the ayat and the Qur'an? And how can you implement this saying of Allah, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, when there is no mujtahid present? And the reason why there is no mujtahid present is because all these conditions cannot be met. And therefore, the result is that you are not able to understand the Qur'an or the meanings of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And also, the saying of Allah Jalla fil Ula, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, if you differ in anything amongst you, then refer it back to Allah and His Messenger, i.e. the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This, as a result of this shubha, of this doubt, then this becomes null and void. How can we go back to the Qur'an and the Sunnah? فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, if you differ in anything, then return back to Allah and His Messenger. How can we implement this ayah if we're not able to understand the meanings of the Qur'an and the meanings of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And the scholars have mentioned that the ayat in the Qur'an, they're of two types. The ayat in the Qur'an, they are of two types. There are those ayat in the Qur'an which are clear and the meanings are clear. And most of the Qur'an is like this. Most of the ayat of the Qur'an are very clear that even a normal person who understands the Arabic language, he can understand this. So for example, the saying of Allah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you alone, O Allah, do we worship, and your aid alone do we seek, or we only seek aid through you. Do we say that nobody can understand this ayah except a mujtahid mutlaq? And in order for you to be a mujtahid mutlaq, you have to fulfill all of these conditions? No, everybody can understand, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And when Allah says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish the prayers, does it require a mujtahid mutlaq with all of these conditions to understand from this ayah that the prayer is obligatory upon us? شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنَ, the month of Ramadan in which the Qur'an was revealed. Does it require the mujtahid mutlaq with all of these conditions and for a person to be a scholar to understand this command? وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. And all of the various ayat, the clear ayat in the Qur'an. So this is one type of ayah of the Qur'an. And this is most of the Qur'an. As for the other type of ayat, then there are some ayat in the Qur'an that require a level of knowledge due to the detail that is contained within those ayat. And as for those ayat, those Qur'anic verses, then for them we say, there's for the scholars to go and deduce and understand the meanings. So for example, the ayat regarding inheritance and the laws of inheritance. They're difficult to understand and they require some sort of background knowledge and insight in understanding these ayat. The verses regarding divorce, for example, they require some level of understanding and knowledge in understanding these verses. And Allah said in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ وَهُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. In Surah Ali Imran, towards the beginning of Surah Ali Imran, Allah mentions, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ. He is the one who has revealed this book upon you. مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ. From this book, from the Quran, they are clear verses. مُآيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ. They are clear verses. Hunna Ummul Kitab, and they are the basis or the fundamental or the core or the essence of this book. These clear evidences or these clear ayat are the ones that are easy to understand. They are the basis, they are the Ummul Kitab, the basis of the core, the fundamental of the book. Wa ukharu mutashabihat, and then other ayat which are mutashabihat. And the meaning of mutashabihat is something that maybe is ambiguous, or an ayah which isn't specific, or the meaning isn't totally clear to everybody, or ayat that maybe they resemble other ayat. So in the Quran, we have certain ayat which are clear, and they are Ummul Kitab. They are the basis and the core and the essence of the book. And these ayat, the one who knows and understands the Arabic language can understand them by reading them. And examples I've mentioned from the Quran. وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتِ. And as for the other ayat of the Quran, then they are mutashabihat. Of detail, slightly ambiguous, requires more research and more knowledge in order to understand them. As for shaitan coming to the people, and the people of innovation, their leaders and the scholars of misguidance coming to the people, and annulling or invalidating most of the Qur'an and encouraging people not to read the Qur'an in order to understand it and seek knowledge in the Qur'an, then this is an evil doubt. And they only want by this evil doubt to turn people away from Al-Islam, turn people away from Al-Qur'an and Al-Sunnah. And when the people turn away from the Qur'an and the Sunnah, what or whom are they left with when it comes to their religion? They take the ulama al-dalal, the scholars of misguidance, as their leaders. فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. And they become misguided and they misguide others. And then their religion is based upon what? Upon dreams and fantasies and desires and visions and stories and legends and myths and so on and so forth. And this very same doubt that Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah mentions, that was there present in his time, this is the same doubt which is present in our time. And then the author continues and he says, وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْهُدَى مِنْهُمَا. And whoever seeks knowledge from the Qur'an and the Sunnah, فَهُوَ إِمَّا زِنْدِيق. Then either he is a zindiq, i.e. a heretic, وَإِمَّا مَجْنُون. Or he is a madman, a person who is insane. And why is he majnoon? Why is he insane? Because according to those people and shaitan, he's trying to understand something which is not able to be understood. And when a person tries to make sense of something that does not make sense, then this person, we would say he's a majnoon, he's insane. And shaitan calls the people who try to understand the meanings of the Qur'an and the Sunnah as those who are insane, because they are trying to understand that which they cannot understand. Why can they not understand it? Because the only people who can understand the Quran and the Sunnah is the mujtahid al-mutlaq. And who is the mujtahid al-mutlaq? The one who has this condition and this condition, this condition, this characteristic, that maybe most of the Sahaba, it was not found with them. And then the author, rahimullah, he says, فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ, may glory be to Allah, وَبِحَمْدِهِ, and His praises. كَمْ بَيِّنَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ شَرْعًا وَقَدْرًا. How much, or how many times has Allah explained in the Sharia, as well as in His Qadr, خَلْقًا وَأَمْرًا فِي رَدِّ هَذِهِ الشُبْهَةَ الْمَلْعُونَ. How many times do we find the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a refutation of this shubha, which is mal'una. It is a cursed doubt. Cursed because it takes the people away from true guidance and takes them closer to basing their religion upon, as I mentioned, dreams and visions and myths and hearsay. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. However, most of the people, they do not know. And Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimullah, he mentions, or he goes into some detail regarding al-ijtihad and the meaning of al-ijtihad. And he also goes into a level of detail regarding at-taqleed and the meaning of at-taqleed. So in order to complete this benefit, we'll read from what Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimullah, said. He said, al-ijtihad, the meaning of al-ijtihad in the Arabic language, so the linguistic meaning of ijtihad in the Arabic language is badlul juhdi li-idraki amrin shaq, is a person striving his utmost in order to understand a matter which is very difficult. So in the Arabic language, the meaning of ijtihad linguistically is badlul juhd, a person striving his utmost لِإِدْرَاكِ أَمْرٍ شَاقٍ, in order to understand a matter which is very, very difficult. I striving to understand. And as for the shari'i meaning, the meaning in the sharia of al-ijtihad, because in the sharia and the books of fiqh, we find this term al-ijtihad coming up. We find this term al-mujtahid coming up, and that the people are various types. We have the mujtahid, we have the muqallid, and so on and so forth. Then the meaning of al-ijtihad in the Sharia is badlul juhdi, is a person striving, i.e. a scholar striving, li-idraki hukmin shar'i, is for a scholar or a person to strive in order to understand a religious ruling, i.e. a ruling in Islam. He's trying to understand a ruling in al-Islam. And we know that the people, they are of various types. And similarly, the scholars, they are various types. So you have people, for example, who are completely ignorant. And they have absolutely no knowledge of Islam. And then you have those amongst them who have a level of knowledge of Islam. Yet they do not reach being tulab al-ilm, students of knowledge. And then you have tulab al-ilm, students of knowledge. And from amongst the tulab al-ilm are those who are minor or in the beginning of seeking knowledge, and those who are mutaqaddimeen, those who are advanced in their seeking of knowledge. And then, after them you have, for example, al-ulama, you have scholars, i.e. those who are slightly older, the teachers of those students of knowledge. And amongst the scholars, you have various levels. So you have an alim, a scholar, who has a certain level of knowledge. And then you have another scholar who is higher than him. You have a person who is qualified to give a fatwa, we call him a mufti. And you have another person, and he might be a scholar, and he only transmits the fatawa of the ulama. And you have, for example, a hafidh of a hadith, many, many ahadith. You have, as the fuqaha say, a hafidh of the madhab. A person who has memorized his own madhab. So an alim, for example, a faqih, and he's hafidh of the Hanafi madhab. He knows the Hanafi madhab with its evidences. And then you have those scholars who have greater knowledge than this. And their knowledge, it encompasses all of the madhahib and the various evidences. And then after this you have the mujtahid, the one who is able to strive and deduce meanings and give fatawa on matters that haven't arisen before. And then even amongst the mujtahideen, there are different levels. So you have a mujtahid of a madhab, within a madhab, within, let's say, the Hanbali madhab, there's a mujtahid. He can make ijtihad and he can strive to understand the difference of opinions within the madhab. And then you have a mujtahid who is even greater than this, the mujtahid mutlaq, a person who is a mujtahid over all of the madhahib. So, and the mujtahid or al-ijtihad, there are certain conditions for a person to attain this level of ijtihad that Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen he mentions. The first condition of al-ijtihad is that the person, he has enough knowledge of the evidences of the adilla of the sharia from the ayat of the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam such that he can deduce rulings. So this mujtahid, a scholar who reaches the level of al-ijtihad, the first condition that some of the fuqaha have mentioned is that he has enough knowledge from the evidences of Islam, from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by which he is able to deduce and strive to understand the rulings of Islam. And then the second condition is that he has knowledge regarding the various levels of authenticity of a hadith. So he knows, for example, that this hadith is weak and this hadith is authentic. He knows regarding the change of narration and he knows regarding the narrators of the hadith. So he can distinguish when he's striving to come to a ruling, he can distinguish between the ruling which is based upon authentic evidences and the ruling which is based upon weak evidences, for example. The third condition of ijtihad is that he knows from the ayat those which are nasikh and those which are mansukh. And nasikh is an ayah which came at a later stage and it abrogated the meaning of an ayah that came previously. So he knows which of the ayat abrogate the other ayat, and he also knows al-mansukh, which of the ayat have been abrogated by later ayat. And he also knows the various places in which the sahaba and the scholars, they had al-ijma'. They unanimously agreed upon a particular ruling. So he knows the nasikh, he knows the mansukh, and then he knows the places of ijma', and he knows those rulings which oppose al-ijma'. And then the fourth condition is that after knowing the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah, he knows the various evidences, because the evidence of the Quran and the Sunnah, they're not all equal in their meaning. We have some evidences that are am, that are general in their meaning. We have other evidences which are khas, which are specific. And those specific evidences, they specify that which is am. And so on and so forth. You have mubham, muqayyad, am, khas, and the other types of evidences. So the fourth condition is that he knows the various levels of the strength of the evidences. In terms of this one is general, this one is restricted, this one is more ambiguous, this one is general, and so on and so forth. And this is so that the scholar or the mujtahid, he doesn't base his ruling upon evidence which is am, for example, which is general, or which is mubham, which is unrestricted or ambiguous, and he leaves alone the evidence which is khas, which is specific and specifies that evidence which was general. Or muqayyid, which is restricted to a particular time or situation, and he uses that. And then the fifth condition is that the mujtahid, or for ijtihad, that he knows the Arabic language, he knows Arabic grammar, He knows usul al-fiqh, and usul al-fiqh is the science which underpins fiqh and the evidences of fiqh. And through knowing the Arabic language, through knowing usul al-fiqh, he is able to understand the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. And then finally, the final condition that Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentions is that this person, or from the conditions of ijtihad, is that he has the ability to deduce rulings from their evidences. That this person, he has the mental capacity and the mental ability in order to deduce rulings from the evidences. And as I mentioned, even when it comes to ijtihad and a person being a mujtahid, then even within this there are different levels. So you have a mujtahid who is muqayyid, a person who is a mujtahid but in his madhab, or in a particular chapter from fiqh, for example. I.e., let's say a person has done a lot of research into an-nikah wa talaq, and therefore, because of his extensive research into this, he becomes a mujtahid and he's able to deduce meanings, deduce rulings, and to give fatawa in this angle, i.e., in an-nikah wa talaq, in marriage and divorce. However, he doesn't have enough knowledge and enough extensive research in, for example, al-hudud, in the prescribed punishments. And therefore, we don't say he's a mujtahid there, but it's possible that he's a mujtahid in this subject. And also we have a mujtahid, as I said, of a particular madhab. And we have a mujtahid who is mutlaq, who is an absolute mujtahid. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned regarding a person or a scholar who strives to come to a ruling. And he said in Sahih Bukhari, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمِ, if the hakim, and the meaning of hakim could be the scholar or maybe the ruler. So if the hakim, if he makes a judgment, فَاجْتَهَدَ, and he makes this judgment out of ijtihad, meaning out of, number one, sincerity, and then secondly, striving to understand and research and come to this ruling. إِذَا أَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا, if this person, after this ijtihad, if he is correct, if he makes the correct ruling, for him are two rewards. وَإِذَا أَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ, and if he makes a mistake, then for him is only one reward. And the two rewards that the person gets or acquires is, number one, the first reward is a reward for his sincerity and the reward for him striving and making the ijtihad and striving his utmost to come to the ruling. And then his second reward is for actually coming to the correct ruling. And the second person who tried his best but he made a mistake, then for him is one reward. And his reward is for his sincerity and his making of ijtihad, but he doesn't get the reward of being upon the truth because he was wrong in that which he said. But he gets a reward for making the ijtihad, i.e. for striving in order to come to a ruling. And for this reason, when it comes to the scholars of fiqh and the scholars of the madhahib, then even though we say that they erred and they made a mistake, because some people, they have a doubt in their mind, and they say, kullu mujtahidin musib, that every mujtahid, he is correct. Every mujtahid, as long as you do ijtihad, then you are correct. And this is something which is false, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this hadith that the mujtahid is of two types: the one who makes ijtihad and he is correct, and the one who makes ijtihad and he is mistaken. So it's not correct to say kullu mujtahidin musib, that every mujtahid is correct, but you can say kullu mujtahidin ma'jur, that every mujtahid, he is rewarded. I rewarded for his sincere striving in order to attain the truth. However, the followers who come all after the mujtahideen, it's not permissible for them to follow the mujtahid whilst knowing that he is wrong. And then after this, not to lengthen the lesson too much, then the Shaykh mentioned regarding at-taqleed, the meaning of at-taqleed. In Sahih Bukhari, Bab al-I'tisam, in Sahih Bukhari. So when it comes to at-taqleed, and this can be loosely translated as blind following, but in the Sharia there is a particular meaning to at-taqleed. And the meaning in the Sharia of at-taqleed is قُبُول قَوْلَ الْغَيْرِ أَوْ قُبُول قَوْلِ مَنْ لَيْسَ قَوْلُهُ بِالْحُجَّةِ. It is to take or accept the statement of a person whose statement isn't an evidence. So we would never call a person who, in inverted commas, blindly follows the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a muqallid, because the hadith and the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in itself is an evidence. But for example, qubul qawlu man laysa qawluhu hujja, it is to accept the statement of a person whose statement isn't an evidence in itself. Or some of the scholars have mentioned قبول قول الغير بلا حجة. To accept the statement of another person, of a scholar or an imam, without any evidence. If that's clear, you can write that. قبول قول الغير بلا حجة. To accept the statement of a scholar or a person without evidence. And التقليد is of two types. The linguistic meaning of التقليد is... As scholars have mentioned, it's from قَلَّدَ يُقَلِّدُ تَقْلِيدًا, which means to tie a knot. And it also comes from a person, يُقَلِّدُ قِلَادَةً, a person who ties a knot on the neck of a cattle or neck of a cow, for example. So the linguistic meaning of تَقْلِيد is from قَلَّدَ يُقَلِّدُ تَقْلِيدًا, i.e. to tie a knot. So there are two types of تَقْلِيد. And we don't want to make this obviously a lesson in fiqh or usul al-fiqh. But there is a general type of taqleed. And this is a person following a particular madhab or a particular person in every single ruling, in everything which this person or this madhab says it's permissible, he says it's permissible and he follows. And in every single ruling that this madhab or this person says it's impermissible, then he says that this is impermissible. And this, as some of the scholars said, is not allowed. This is haram in the religion. It's not permissible. And Shaykh Hussam ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah said that to say that it is obligatory for a person to obey somebody other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every single commandment and every single prohibition, then this is against the ijma' of the ummah, the agreement of the ummah, and it's exceeding their limits. I.e. there's nobody whose statement that we accept in every single statement, whether this person says something is halal or something is wajib or something is haram or something is permissible, other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for us to bring about a person or a madhab or a school of thought, and we say to the people, you have to follow this school of thought of this person in absolutely everything, then this isn't permissible. And then the other type of a taqleed is khas, specific, meaning or restricted. I.e. a person blindly follows a madhab or a scholar in a particular matter due to a necessity. And this, the ulama have mentioned that this is something which is permissible. This is permissible. And this is due to the necessity of a person needing to know a particular ruling in that specific situation, and he's not able to come to that ruling. And therefore, what is the ruling of a taqleed? And we'll finish with this. What is the ruling of a taqleed? Then, the base ruling of a taqleed is that it is impermissible. The base ruling in Islam of a taqleed, of blindly following others, that this is something which is not permissible. And there are many, many ayat in the Quran and many hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to this meaning. And every single ayah, every single hadith which encourages the people to seek knowledge is a refutation against this doubt of blindly following. Our religion is a religion of seeking knowledge and not blindly following other people. Like Allah said, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Do not act upon that which you have no knowledge regarding. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ or عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every single Muslim or every single believer. And also Allah said, I think in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ, when it was said to them, follow that which Allah has revealed, قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاؤُنَا. They said, rather we will follow that which we have found our forefathers upon. Allah said in the Quran, Yarhamukullah. Allah said in the Quran, I think in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ, when it was said to them, follow that which Allah has revealed, قَالُوا, they replied, they said, بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاؤُنَا. Rather, we will follow that which we found our forefathers upon. Meaning, we will blindly follow that which has come previously. And there are many ayat and many evidences against at-taqleed. So the taqleed which is impermissible is, number one, blindly following a statement which is in opposition to the usul al-deen, the principles and the fundamentals of this religion. So it's not, for example, allowed for a person to say that I'm not going to pray because I blindly follow a particular scholar who says that it's not permissible to pray. Because this person has gone against an asal, a fundamental known principle from the usul al-deen, from the fundamentals of this religion. Or a person says that I am content upon doing shirk because I am blindly following a scholar, for example. Then this isn't permissible. And also for a person, and also taqleed is impermissible, blindly following is impermissible, if a person follows a statement which is against the agreement of Ahlul Sunnah, against Al-Ijma'. And also it is, taqleed is impermissible when it comes to Al-Aqeedah. And Shaykh Saleh Al-Shaykh Hafidhullah, he mentions a statement that the scholars mentioned. They say, لا تقليد في العقائد. There is no taqleed when it comes to a person's belief. Because this is from the fundamentals of the religion. Similarly, there is no taqleed when it comes to following the misguided sects. The Khwarij, the Qadariya, the Jahmi, and all these misguided sects. All of these types of taqleed, it is impermissible. And then there is a type of taqleed which is permissible. And that is, in a person following the statement of the scholars or of the fuqaha in matters which are detailed and complex and due to a necessity. And the evidence for this that some of the scholars have mentioned is a saying of Allah, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So ask the people of remembrance if you do not know. And they mention this as an evidence for at-taqleed in this restricted matter. And then the author, rahimahullah, finishes by saying, آخِرُهُ, that this is the ending. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. وَاللَّهُ تَعَلَىٰ أَعْلَمْ. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّنَا وَسَلَّمْ.